even now. Let me ask you to turn, if you would, in your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, right at the beginning. Mark chapter 1. And if you need a Bible this evening, there should be some black hardcover Bibles in each of the pew racks in front of you. And you can find where we'll be reading in Mark 1 on page 1391 in the pew Bibles. And I would encourage you to turn there, and you'll be able to follow along as I read here in a few minutes. You know, soldiers have their war stories, sailors have their sea stories, and pastors have their baptism stories. And so every few baptisms or so, I take it upon myself to uncover some new and exciting tales of baptismal woe. And so I saw a couple of YouTubes here this week. One of them was a very insecure young man. I mean, he wanted to be baptized, but this water thing was a real problem for him. And the baptistry in this particular church had actually a piece of plexiglass about the top 1 foot of it, you know, so the water actually comes up against the plexiglass. And the pastor gets ready to baptize the young man, and just as he's getting ready to dunk him under, the young man grabs that piece of plastic and starts holding on for dear life. And the pastor is panicking that the plexiglass is going to come down, and then things are going to really get exciting. And finally, he just kind of grabs him, takes his arm captive, submerses him, and brings him up, and all's well that ends well. And then there was another instance of a very fearful young lady, and it was rather odd. The film was shot from just looking down into the baptistry from one of the sides, and they only had about this much water in their baptistry. Which I'm thinking, how can you baptize somebody? I mean, I guess you could. Well, they did, okay? But this young lady was very fearful. And they had to go way, way down to get her under the water. And finally, the pastor kind of pushes it. And at that point, I don't need to make light of this, but it really did strike me. It's kind of like trying to give a cat a bath. You know, I mean, this young lady was squirming every which way in utter panic. So, you know, when pastors do baptisms, you understand, it's done with fear and trepidation. Now, I'll tell you one more story. I think I told you this the first time I ever did a baptism here. We have a set of waders. I don't use them. I used them the first time and found that they leak a little bit. So, you know, what's the point? But there was a story that I read. I did not see the video of this one. But read a story about this pastor, and he had the waders on, and he was baptizing a rather larger gentleman. And to ensure that everything went well, he kind of squatted down. You know, you're supposed to lift with your knees. And so he went down like this. Well, you know what happens when the water level's here and the top of your waders is here, right? Not a good thing. And so now finally he gets up and his waders are full. And he can't move, you know. And his waders had a small leak as well, and he knew that. But he's trying to make his way out, and you might say, well, finally just abandon the waders. The problem was, in their church, they did the baptism first and then the preaching. So he didn't want his suit pants to get wet. So he didn't have his pants on. So the poor guy is trapped in his waders, full of water, in the baptistry. What's the guy to do? Okay. So you did not realize the hazardous duty associated with baptisms. But I think we're going to be okay tonight. I'm pretty sure that baptizing Tracy, we aren't going to have any of those problems. And it's just going to be an exciting and uplifting event, as our baptisms always are. I've asked you to turn to a familiar passage in the Gospels tonight, one that tells us about the day when the Lord Jesus Himself was baptized. I want you to take a look here at verses 9 through 11 in Mark chapter 1. Mark writes, "It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John," he's talking about John the Baptist, "in the Jordan River. And straightway, immediately, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit, like a dove, descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, 'Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" I want us to look at the example of Jesus' baptism tonight, just briefly, and just kind of overviewing some thoughts. And my goal is to encourage you that if you are a believer and you have not been baptized, that you would decide tonight to be baptized just as the Lord Jesus was Himself. And so with that in mind, I've entitled the message this evening, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. Sometimes we sing a song by that title, but I have decided to follow Jesus. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we are thankful that the Lord Jesus is our perfect example in everything. Far more than just this matter of baptism. But He does give us an important example in His own baptism. Now, His baptism surely was different from ours and unique in ways that are only possible because He is Your Son. He is the God-man. But still, there is just some basic principle there of the example of Jesus. I pray, Father, as we would consider it, as we would consider the command of Jesus, that any among us who have not been baptized scripturally, who have not been baptized as believers in Christ, that they might this very evening make that decision to follow Jesus in that way. And I pray, Father, that if there would be any among us tonight who have never trusted Jesus as their Savior, Father, help us to remember that baptism doesn't save anyone. It's a symbol that is carried out by those who have been saved. But Father, if there are some here tonight, maybe someone who has sat in these very pews for years and years and years, and maybe we would all say we know that's a saved person. Maybe not. And so we pray, Father, that Your Spirit would bring conviction where needed. And that if there would be someone tonight who needs to trust Jesus, that they would do so without hesitation. Father, whatever the need in our lives, would You encourage each of us to make a renewed decision to follow Jesus in whatever way is needful today in our lives. We ask Your blessing on this time. I pray that You would guide my thoughts and words, that You would open the hearts of these Your people, that You would take away distractions, that You would use this study in Your Word profitably for our lives and for Your glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So in these next few minutes, I want us to consider the baptism of Jesus and the biblical implications for every person here. And here's the first of several main observations I want to make is when it comes to water baptism, Jesus is our example. He's our example. He's our model. Jesus, the sinless Son of God, was baptized. Our text tells us that He was baptized. He comes up out of the water. Getting baptized was something that Jesus chose to do. Jesus decided to do. Jesus was led in obedience to His Father to do. And you know, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but it really is a surprising thing that Jesus asked John to baptize Him. Now, we understand it was in fulfillment of the Scriptures, but if you remember John's baptism, his ministry was described as preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, right? So those who came to John the Baptist there along the Jordan River and said, we want to be baptized, they were baptized repenting of their sin, admitting their need, confessing their sins to God. And it was a baptism as a mark of their repentance and turning from sin and turning to God. Now, of course, the problem when we think about Jesus is He had no sin to repent of. He had nothing to confess. Because Jesus is the sinless Son of God. He did not sin. He could not sin. The devil had no hold on Him. Whatever the situation, whatever the temptation, Jesus never, ever sinned. So when He comes to John, His reason isn't to be baptized as a mark of His repentance. His reason isn't to be baptized confessing His sins. Look back just a couple of verses here in Mark 1. Verse 4, it says, John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission, for the forgiveness of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and they were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. So Jesus had no such need. In fact, Matthew tells us that John said to him, I shouldn't be baptizing you. You should be baptizing me. And Matthew 3:15 tells us that Jesus responded like this. You know, he appealed to John. He said, suffer it, allow it to be so now, for thus it becometh us. In other words, it's appropriate for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, to do all that God had intended, both for John's life and for Jesus' life. So Jesus there, he's saying to John, you know, there are things that are part of the plan of God that God has put in place, and I don't want to miss anything that God desires for me to do. I want to do everything that my Father wants me to do. And folks, there's a great example for us in every way. Jesus Himself was committed to always be obedient to His Father, always be submitted to the will of God, always seek to do completely and fully everything that God the Father intended for Him to do. So that's really one of the reasons Jesus was baptized, was to give us an example of obedience, an example of doing the will of God. And I would suggest that there's at least one more reason why Jesus was baptized there in the Jordan. I think Jesus was baptized in order to identify with sinners, to identify with the people He came to save. So Jesus was baptized not because of His sin, but to identify with us as sinners and to be an example for us of obedient to the command of God. And you know, folks, when we willingly go through the waters of baptism, we are, in response, identifying ourselves with Jesus, just like He identifies with us. And we're letting it be known that He's my Savior. He has forgiven me. I belong to Him. He identified with us, and so we should gladly, willingly, even eagerly identify with Him. And then when we choose to be baptized, we are also following the example of Jesus. That's why we often refer to someone who is being baptized as following the Lord in believer's baptism. I understand in some measure that's just kind of a church speak, one of those things that we kind of say, but there's a reason behind it. Jesus gave us an example, and we follow His example of seeking to do all that God has for us. And if God wants us to be baptized, and He does, then we ought to do that. God wanted Jesus to be baptized, and He was. So we follow the example of Jesus. So here in this text, Jesus is baptized. He goes down into the water. And verse 10 tells us He comes up out of the water. And let me just comment briefly in passing, and I think we all know this, but the word, the Greek word, which is like bapto, baptizo, a couple different forms of it, but that basic word family, what it means is to be immersed, to be submerged. It's transliterated. In other words, they just take the Greek word and bring the letters over into English. But really what it means is to immerse. And the consistent pattern that we find in the New Testament is people going down into the water, into a river, into a pool, and then being baptized, and then coming up out of the water. And Jesus was baptized in that manner. And that's the manner of baptism, the mode of baptism, if you want to call it that, that we practice, because we feel like that follows the pattern of Scripture. That follows the example of Jesus. And immediately after being baptized, verses 12 and 13 tell us that Jesus goes into the wilderness. He prevails in the face of the devil's temptation. And from there, He begins His powerful ministry of preaching and proclaiming the truths of the kingdom of God. And in the chapters that follow, Jesus gives an example of someone who lives by the power of the Spirit of God, always doing the will of God. And folks, Jesus' baptism is something of a launching point, of a starting point of a life lived for God. Obviously, he lived for God from the moment he was born. But in terms of his active ministry and carrying out God's purposes in preaching and teaching and healing, those things really kind of began with his baptism. And there's an example for us there as well. There's a sense in which being baptized is an important foundational step upon which God then takes and multiplies our effectiveness in ministry. I'm not saying that someone who hasn't been baptized is never used of God. And I'm not saying that someone who has been baptized is always used of God. But I am just saying that, you know what, if we are unwilling to be baptized, we can expect that that's stunting our spiritual growth and that's holding us back from fulfilling all that God has for us. And Jesus just gives us that example in His own life, that baptism is a foundational starting point. He identifies with us. He sets an example for us. And it's an example that we ought to follow. So in that regard, Jesus is our example. If you want to fulfill all that God has for you, baptism is an important step in that process. When it comes to baptism, we need to follow Jesus' example. Second observation I would make is that Jesus commands believers to be baptized. He gives us an example of being baptized, and then He commands believers to be baptized. If you want to turn just back in your Bible about a page, right at the end of Matthew, so Matthew chapter 28, in the last three verses, we often refer to this passage as the Great Commission. We find the Great Commission in other forms at the end of the book of Mark, in Luke, in John, at the beginning of Acts. But this is probably the one that is most familiar to us. And Jesus gives a command here to His disciples, and He says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." And really, literally, that's the idea of make disciples of all nations. Make disciples of all different kinds of people, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. And really, if you think about it, the Great Commission is this. We are to go. We're to reach people with the gospel. We are to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we are to teach them to observe everything in this book. Everything that God has revealed to us. Everything that God has given us by way of instruction and example for living for Him, for growing in Him. And the pattern there is someone is reached and then they're baptized. And there's a sense in which really that Great Commission would compel us to be baptized two different ways. One is, it specifically says, you know, baptize them. But it also says, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So that would include baptism as well. But we would have to say that God, for whatever reason, and we may not even be able to explain it or figure out why, but God apparently, for whatever reason, puts in a particularly important weight, if you will, on a person, on a believer being willing to be obedient in this matter of baptism. And so He says, you know, it's incumbent upon the church, upon God's people, that we are to, as we go, we're to reach people for Jesus Christ. We are to evangelize them. We're to share the gospel with them. We're to help them come to put their faith in Christ, to become followers of Jesus, to make disciples of them. And then we're to baptize them. And then also we are to teach and edify one another. Teach each other to observe all things, everything that God has given us. And so the Great Commission does put a responsibility on every church to do as we're doing tonight. Baptize someone who has become a follower of Jesus Christ. And that's why sometimes we will refer to baptism as a church ordinance. It's been something that has been given to the church to carry out. But though the Great Commission places a burden on God's people collectively as a church to make disciples and baptize those disciples, it also, I think, implicit in that is a command to every believer, or for every individual who has believed, to be baptized. You might say, well, Pastor, I understand that you think I should be baptized, but I don't think it's really that important. You know, folks, it doesn't really matter what we think. It matters what God says. It's a matter of what God's opinion is. And God puts a premium on baptism. You go through the book of Acts, you look at the early church, people believe and they're baptized. They believe and they're baptized. As many as believed are baptized. It's just the pattern that is there. And I've struggled sometimes, so why is that so important? And I can't put, you know, what's the implications of, I guess it's just this, you know, God sometimes gives us just some really clear things to say, listen, let's find out if you're willing to obey. Let's see if you'll do what I'm asking you to do. Let's see if you'll be willing to stand up and identify and say, you know what? I'm a follower of Jesus. I belong to Him. He has saved me. And I am willing to be baptized. A small thing, be immersed in water for just a fraction of a second, but to do that as a testimony that I belong to Him, that Christ has died for me, and I have trusted in Him as my Savior from sin. And you know, in God's economy, in God's dynamics, He's made that an important thing. And so we can say, well, I don't see the importance, or I don't understand what's the big deal. You know what? God's Word makes it pretty clear that it's a big deal. It's an important step. It's a matter of obedience to the Lord Jesus. If we're honest about it, I think we would have to agree that despite whatever, you know, reasonings or arguments someone might make, the right thing to do is simply obey God and be baptized. Okay, so here's the statements I've given you so far this evening regarding baptism. First, when it comes to water baptism, Jesus is our example. And then secondly, Jesus Himself commands us as believers to be baptized. And the logical outworking of that, as I've already shared with us, is that we should obey. In other words, here's a third statement. Baptism is a simple matter of obedience to Christ. Jesus Himself submitted to baptism in obedience to His Father. And in so doing, He identified Himself with those that He came to save. And He set an example for our obedience in baptism. And as we saw in the Great Commission, He then commanded baptism for all that follow Him. And folks, I just want to say that you cannot willfully neglect baptism and at the same time be a growing, flourishing, effective disciple for the Lord Jesus. Now, someone might say, well, but I'm a shy person. I don't like to get up in front of people. Or I'm uncomfortable about doing that with everybody watching. You know, in the New Testament, the Bible describes the church, right? The collection of God's people, of believers in Jesus, as the bride of Christ. I want you to imagine for a minute you've got a couple and they're engaged and they're getting ready to be married. They schedule their wedding and the bride says, you know what? I'm a little bit uncomfortable with standing up in front of people and telling them that I want to marry you. You might say, what is wrong with that gal? You know? Brides are supposed to love weddings, right? Well, as the bride of Christ, we're supposed to love the opportunity to stand up and say, I belong to Jesus. I'm committing myself to Him. He has given Himself for me. I belong to Him. And really, that if your heart is that, you know what, think of what Jesus has done for me, then that ought to motivate you that whatever the inhibitions may be, that you would be willing to step up and say, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided that I will obey Him and be baptized. Jesus said this in Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33. He said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father who is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven. That is a hard passage, but that's what Jesus said. You know, it puts a burden on us that we ought be willing to identify ourselves with Him. Jesus also said this in John 14, 23. He said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And folks, if you love Christ because He has saved your soul, then you will want to let everyone know about it. And obedience to Christ's command to be baptized is an initial way to show that indeed you do love Him. So to go back to the message title, if you're a believer but you've never been baptized, it's time for you to decide to follow Jesus, to decide to obey Him. It's not really optional. It's not just for, you know, these supposedly spiritual Christians, whoever that may be. It's something that God desires from every saved person. Yes, it is something that is a spiritually important thing for us to do, but you don't have to prove yourself. You don't have to earn something, do something. You just simply have to say, I've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I belong to Him. He died for me. He forgave my sins. He gave me new life in Him. And I have decided that the right thing for me to do in light of the Word of God is to identify with Him, to follow Him, follow His example in believers' baptism. And you know, folks, when you do that, it really does make a difference. It really does matter. It's not just something you do and fine. You know, it's really is a significant thing. And let me just mention some of the ways that it has significance. Baptism makes a difference in your relationship to God. It tells the Lord, it shows the Lord that you love Him, that you're willing to obey Him. In some cultures, you can say that you believe in Christ and you may be ridiculed. You may be ostracized. But in some cultures, if you get baptized, you are marked for death. Now, we don't face that here in our country, but there are countries in the world right now, today, where that is true. And you know what happens? Those believers still get baptized. Because they realize that, look at what Jesus has done for me. I shouldn't need to fear Him who can hurt the body. I should stand up and identify with the Lord Jesus. You know, and we ought to be willing to do that. And in our culture, it's so much softer, so much easier, frankly. But surely we can be willing to say, Lord, I will forsake my pride or my discomfort or whatever it might be. And I'm going to acknowledge my relationship with You. I'm going to forsake everything and follow You. You say, Pastor, that's the problem. I'm not sure I am willing to forsake everything and follow God. You know, I don't want to be a hypocrite. People will sometimes say that. You know, if I do this right thing, that would be hypocritical because maybe I'm not sure my heart's only in it. Well, I appreciate the honest reflection that stems from that kind of thinking. But let me tell you, you've got to start somewhere. I have never run a marathon. There was a day in my life, you may have a difficulty believing this, but there was a day in my life when I was in good enough condition to run a marathon. I just didn't really like running. I ran cross country in high school as a social event. You know, that's what my friends did. That's what we did. And I was too small to play football, so that's what we did. Okay, but I never did. I never signed up. I never went. I never started a race. I never took a single step in a marathon. And so I never finished a marathon. Some of you here have run marathons. And it started with step one. And if you give up before you even begin, I can tell you, you will never finish the course. If you don't bother to start, you will never finish the course. So you may feel like, you know, my spiritual life isn't really all that it should be. I think we could all say that. You may feel like, I'm struggling with these things, and what's it going to mean if I stand up and say that I want to be baptized? It's going to mean that you're willing to say, you know what, I want to follow Jesus' example and I want to get started. I want to step to the line. I want to take that first step. And I assure you, folks, that if you've been holding back on the matter of baptism and you make a decision to do that in obedience to God, in submission to Him, out of a heart to just demonstrate that you're thankful that He died for you and that He saved you, and you're willing to let it be known that I belong to Jesus, that will propel you ahead in your relationship with God. And that will help you then be able to take the next step and the next step and the next step. And you'll become increasingly useful in God's hands and increasingly available to serve Him. So baptism makes a difference in your relationship with God. Baptism makes a difference for others in the church. You know, we are not a big amening church, right? If we moved about 1,000 miles south, okay, the church culture would likely be different. You know, but we're a very staid, kind of quiet, northern church. Sometimes I wish we had a little more chutzpah to us, you know, a little bit more enthusiasm. But that's okay. You know, the point isn't to try and conjure something up. But here is what I have observed, and you can observe this tonight. The loudest amen you will ever hear in the church, except for those times when I make you do it, okay? Every once in a while I make you do that. But apart from that, the loudest amens you will ever hear in this church is when Tracy comes up out of that water tonight. She'll hear it, I'll hear it, all of you. There is something that stirs the soul of a believer to just be excited to see someone else follow Jesus. And it encourages the rest of us that, you know what, I want to follow Him better too. And I want to take that next step for me. You know, I can't explain this, but there's something unique, something that God does through baptism, and it ministers to the life of a church. It is a church ordinance. And you as an individual can be a great blessing and an encouragement to your brothers and sisters in Christ here simply by doing what God tells us we should do. And we can help each other in that right way. Baptism makes a difference for others in the church. Baptism makes a difference to those outside the church. Getting baptized can be a powerful witness of the saving power of Jesus Christ. And when you identify with Christ and you're willing to let maybe family members, friends, co-workers know that, you know what, I have decided to follow Jesus. They may or may not agree with you. They may or may not understand what you're doing. But they will have to admit that this must be important to you. This is making a difference. It's having an effect in your life. And oftentimes, God the Holy Spirit will use that to cause somebody else to be a little bit inquisitive. You want to know a little bit about this Jesus that you serve who can cause you to adjust the way that you live. Cause you to be willing to stand up in front of a bunch of people and get wet. And testify of what Jesus has done. And it can be a powerful testimony. Baptism makes a difference to those outside the church. And baptism makes a difference for you. You know, it really, affects you in a profound way. It's a public testimony of your faith in Jesus. It pictures that you are identifying with Him in His death, burial, and resurrection. Romans 6 tells us that when we are baptized, when we go through water baptism, it really is a picture. When we go under the water, it's a picture that when I trusted in Christ, I died to self, I died to sin. And when we come up out of the water, it's a picture of just as Jesus was risen from the dead, we are raised to walk in newness of life, that God is changing us, that things are different, our perspective is different, our way of living is different. And baptism testifies to that. It testifies to the fact that we have been washed of our sins by the Lord Jesus. It symbolizes our separation from the world and our union with Christ. You know, after someone is baptized, that doesn't mean that all of a sudden everything about living a spiritual life gets easy. It doesn't mean that. There are still struggles. Sometimes people's hearts grow cold. Your heart, my heart, we sometimes grow cold. But you know, one of the things, just in a simple, practical way, you can even just remember, you know, there was a time when I was willing to step up and be baptized. And I need to start living like that again. Because baptism makes a difference for you, in you. Jesus Himself submitted to baptism in obedience to His Father. And so doing, He identified Himself with those He came to save. He set the example for our obedience in baptism. And in the Great Commission, He commanded baptism for all that follow Him. And folks, we ought to obey Him. Not slavishly, not grudgingly, but willingly, gladly, from a heart of thankfulness to Jesus for what He has done for us. So dear person, if you are here tonight and you've been saved, but you have not been baptized biblically, let me encourage you that it's time for you to do so. You can come forward at an invitation. You can talk to me. You can talk to Pastor Micah, one of our deacons. You know, call the office. Send me an email, whatever it is. But let your desire be known. Let it be known that you have decided to follow Jesus in this important way. And just before we finish here tonight, let me shift my focus for just a few minutes and just address Christians who have been baptized. You know, and maybe for you that's been a couple years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. It seems like it was a lifetime ago. Let me assure you that if you did that with a right heart, understanding what baptism is from the Bible, then it wasn't an empty ritual, because, folks, God does no empty rituals. Empty rituals lead to death, okay? But God is all about life. And the ordinances that God has given us are intended to affect us, to change us in meaningful ways that alter how we live and for whom we live. So baptism shouldn't just be a moment in time, but rather it should mark the beginning of something that is ongoing from that moment forth for the glory of God. when we do what God tells us to do, when we take that step of obedience, it's never just a moment and then gone. It ought to be an ongoing reality. And so really being baptized is to be a waypoint in your life. Starting point, really, where you identify with and begin really in earnest to serve the Lord Jesus. So what I want to encourage you, if you've been baptized, is don't just look at that as some relic of the past or something that you did and it was appropriate and was needful and it was right and it was proper. But let me ask you to just really purpose before God to live, again, I don't know, I've called it before, a baptized life. Okay? You say, what do you mean by that? But I mean living with an ongoing heart to do those things that were involved when you were baptized. A heart to just on an ongoing, continual basis, identify with Jesus and obey Jesus. And follow His example. And be dead to sin and self. And be raised up to walk in newness of life. All those things are true of you in your position, in your relationship with Christ, if you're saved and then you've been baptized. But they ought to be increasingly true of you in your life's experience. And so really it's about an ongoing life lived in identification with and obedience to Jesus. It's about submitting to His Lordship. It's about relinquishing your rights, letting go of them. It's about beginning a new way of living out of gratitude for what He's done for you. You see, folks, baptism isn't just checking a box that says, yes, I've been baptized. People sometimes ask me about, you know, church membership and what do? And I tell them that, you know, you sit down and you're grilled by our deacons. No, you sit down with two of our deacons. We call it an interview, and basically you share your testimony that I've trusted in Christ. You explain the gospel that you have believed and testify of your salvation in Christ, and you affirm that you've been baptized biblically. But the question there isn't just check the box, but hopefully it's you acknowledging that, you know, you've begun a life lived in obedience to Christ. And that's what your baptism represents. And you want to continue to live in that manner. In just a couple of minutes, when I baptize Tracy, I'm going to say these words as we stand there in the baptistry. I'm going to say, in obedience to our Lord's command, the command to be baptized, and upon your public profession of your faith in Him as Savior, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And then as she goes under the water, I will say, buried with Him in the likeness of His death. And as she comes up out of the water, I will say, raised to walk in newness of life. And folks, that's how we're to live. Our lives ought to be just an ongoing picture of that, that we are buried with Him, buried to sin and self, and raised to walk in newness of life. And you know, folks, there's a reason why you don't have to be baptized again and again and again. Because once that picture is in place, that picture continues. You are forever raised to walk in newness of life. You don't go back to being dead to sin. You may live like it, but that's not a reality in terms of your relationship with God. You are alive. And in your baptism, you're testifying that, yes, when I was saved, I was made alive in Christ, and I have been raised. I have been born again to walk in newness of life, in a life that honors Him. Baptism is a testimony and a reminder that you have and are entering into a changed kind of life by the power of the Spirit of God. So let me just say again, folks, I'm of the opinion that taking the important step of baptism can lead to a real advance in your relationship with God. And with your impact on other people, be they lost or saved. And I want to encourage you to be willing to take that step if you've not done so. Decide to follow Jesus. And if you have been baptized, then decide to continue living that baptized life. Our Father, we are